It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, December 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. People around the country are streaming music more than ever. Ratings company Nielsen recently found that between 37 and 51% of music listeners are listening with streaming services like Spotify, Google Play, and Beats. And because of that trend, America's best-known popularity contest is changing the way it counts starting today. I'm talking about the Billboard 200. Sam Harnett looks into why they don't make the charts like they used to.
If you know this band, the album Leaf, it's probably not because you have its album. The band doesn't sell very many. But the album Leaf does get millions of plays on streaming services like Spotify. Richard Lang, a rep from their label, says Billboard's new formula could give bands like this more recognition.
We're going to have a kind of industry standard which reflects people's behavior a little bit more closely, how people are consuming music.
They're streaming it. The music industry made over a quarter of its revenue in the first half of the year from streaming audio. That statistic comes from the Recording Industry Association of America. Meanwhile, CD sales and downloads are falling. Paul Reznikoff runs the blog Digital Music News. He says Billboard's new metrics probably won't change the rankings too much.
Successful artists get traction across almost every platform.
Reznikoff says big names like Sam Smith and One Direction will still dominate the charts. They may stay there even longer when all the streaming and downloads are counted. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
United Nations climate talks are happening all this week in Lima, Peru. The topic is contentious, the problem is massive, and many would argue our future hangs in the balance. But here's some good news. Renewable energy technology is changing the market. Scott Tong joins us from Marketplace's sustainability desk to talk more. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
Now seems like a good time to do some kind of cost comparison with these energy technologies. Am I right?
Well, you are. You're always right, Ben. There are nerds out there who take all kinds of energy sources, whether from fuel cells, marine tides, hydro, burning trash to make energy, and they compare how much each one costs to make one unit of electricity. So here's the latest from the folks at the Bank Lazard. Coal costs $90,
okay,
and natural gas costs about $70. So those are your kind of your fossil fuel baselines for comparison.
Okay, fair enough. Give me the renewables, man.
Well, the wind number comes in at $60, so that's right in the mix. And solar from the big giant solar power plants is about $80. Now, there are varying studies and ranges, but the point is these renewables are now in the neighborhood, and 5 years ago they were not.
That's like legitimately competitive. So what happened?
So it's everything from installation costs going down, and wind turbines and solar panels are just getting more and more efficient at turning nature into energy. Now, a couple caveats here real quickly. This does not include subsidies for green or brown energy. It does not include the environmental costs and fossil fuels. And it doesn't cost a big problem that renewables have, and that is when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, you need a backup source of energy. So these comparisons don't include all that.
I presume, though, the cost of renewables will continue to go down?
Those are all the projections. I should say the fossil fuel natural gas is also going down, but renewables, they're poised to explode, and not just in the U.S., but in developing countries. It's complicated, but in a lot of developing countries, actually, renewables are already cheaper than the incumbent fossil fuels.
That was going to be my next question. Climate change, right? And how it's affecting some of these countries?
A lot of the poorest countries, as you say, are going to be the first to feel the impacts of climate change. Right now, the target is to limit the warming to about 3.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the long term. Right now, we're still on track to double that. So a lot of work to go, Ben.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong. Scott, thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome.
We've been using a kind of swipe technology to input text into our phones for a few years now, and a similar technology has just been put into the communication system used by theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking. He speaks through a robotic voice with the help of a computer attached to his wheelchair. It's dramatized in theaters right now with the movie The Theory of Everything.
My name is Stephen Hawking.
It's American.
Is that a problem?
Well, we called up the woman from Intel who helped design Hawking's latest communication system. Lama Nachman is principal researcher at Intel. She says the new system tries to make basic computer tasks faster and easier for Dr. Hawking.
Take the simple example of just opening a file. For him, that translates to about a 3 to 4 minute operation. because, you know, essentially he scans until he gets to the application, then he goes and he triggers the open file, then he scans again to get to the search bar. So as we watched him, we looked at all of these different operations and started to automate these operations for him.
You have said that technology for people who are disabled is often in sort of a proving ground for technology of the future. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Basically, I mean, if you think about it, there are a lot of moments within our lives where we're highly mobile. We can't really pay attention to our technology. In a sense, we are disabled. You know, a lot of these technologies are actually helpful for us in these constrained settings. And, you know, today, for example, one of the things that we've integrated into Stephen's system is the word prediction software. It's something that we use today on all smartphones. Right, because of the fact that it's very hard for us to actually type on a smartphone, given the constrained space and given the fact that most of the time we're walking around and trying to type at the same time. If you start to think of things as people with limited abilities at the point in time, that connection becomes quite obvious.
Lama Nachman is a principal researcher at Intel. She worked on the Assistive Context Aware Toolkit. It's a custom-built communication system for Stephen Hawking. Lama, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.